your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Beautiful. Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. You know, my name is Eric Balance, and today I am sitting here with the amazing Mr. Greg Rollett. Is it Rollett? It's Rollett.
You got it, man. It's Rollett, man. Happy to be here, dude. Happy to be here.
So, brother, I'm super excited. You know, we literally just met like a few minutes ago, and I'm excited to just like pick your brain, you know, really acknowledge a lot of like the brilliance that you've put out into the world. And most importantly, give some tactics to, you know, the audience, the, you know, the community that continues to also beautifully, you know, follow, listen, and, you know, be excited about the value that's being put out there by tremendous thought leaders like yourself. So I really want to just, for those of you that don't know Greg, Greg's an Emmy award-winning producer. You know, he's a best-selling author, a marketing expert who really works with tremendous experts, authors, and entrepreneurs all around the world. You know, he utilized the power of new media, direct response, personality-driven marketing, and to attract clients and to create more freedom in their own businesses and lives of their of his clients and his clients' clients. After a successful string of his own educational products and businesses, Greg began helping others in the production and marketing of their own products and services. He's written for Mashable, Fast Company, Inc.com, Huffington Post, AOL, Open Forum, among many others, and continues to share his message, helping other experts and entrepreneurs grow their business through marketing. He's co-authored best-selling books with Jack Canfield, Dan Kennedy, Brian Tracy, Tom Hopkins, James Malinchuk, Robert Allen, Ryan Lee, and many other leading experts from around the world. Greg's clients today include brilliant minds like Michael Gerber, Brian Tracy, Tom Hopkins, Sally Hogshead, Coca-Cola, Miller Lite, Warner Brothers, along with thousands of other entrepreneurs and owners around the globe. And his work has been featured on media like Fox News, ABC, NBC, CNN, The Wall Street Journal, and Inc. magazine. And but brother, I just want to, you know, give you a warm welcome. Thanks for your time. I'm super excited, and I'm just grateful to have you here today, bro.
Oh man, thanks, Eric. I appreciate that. And that made me sound way cooler than I really am. I'm really just a dad with three kids running a couple businesses and trying to help others along the way as I try to figure it out myself. So I appreciate you having me, and let's have some fun together.
And crushing him, I may add too. So it's beautiful to have, you know, a brilliant man around and be able to just, you know, connect. So brother, I talk about, you know, resilience on this podcast. You know, it's so important in our lives, our relationships, our businesses, our missions, our goals, our desires. And I find that, you know, there's this fundamental factor, our X factor, which is what I call the X factor, which is our experience. And our experiences contribute to our big Y factor, our why, our purpose, our mission, our driving force that guides us. And I'd love to just, you know, really take it back to maybe the beginning for you. You know, what was something that through your experience, what was an experience that was like a defining moment that you knew, or maybe it was a couple of them, you were like, there is no way, no how, I'm going after this. I don't care how crazy people think I am. I'm doing it, and I'm stepping into it no matter what the fear looked like.
You know, I'm one of those guys who sees that if someone's been able to do it, that means that I have the potential to be able to do it too, right? They say, well, I can never be Michael Jordan. Well, Michael Jordan was able to be Michael Jordan, so why can't I, right? And I saw that always, as a kid in sports. You know, I wanted to be in the bottom of the ninth, two outs, you know, bases loaded. I wanted to be the one with the bat in my hands, hitting that home run, rounding the bases. I got into the music industry at 18, built a recording studio, toured the country for a few years as a rapper in a rock band, not because anybody came to my house and was like, Greg, you're the next great white rapper. Like, let's give you a record deal. Like, no one did that. I saw other people doing it, other people that I paid, and I was like, well, I'm just going to do it myself. In business, like, no one comes and is like, all right, Eric, you now have you know, 70 episodes of your podcast. Now you can do this. Like, no, you just said one day, you know what? I'm going to go host a show. I'm going to get amazing. Like, you took it upon yourself. And so I've had those like moments where I've just decided like, I want something. I'm going to go and take it, as opposed to waiting for someone to, you know, open the door or bestow that opportunity on me, because I think too many people are waiting for that to happen. And guess what? No one's coming to save you. You know who is coming to save you? You, like, and your own mind and your own mindset and your own possibility. And, you know, we run ambitious.com. So I talk a lot about ambition, but, you know, trace ambition to desire, to, you know, mission, you know, all those different things. Is you got to have something within you that says, I was meant for more. I was meant for greatness. I was put on this earth to do something. Now, that could just be to be a better, you know, parent. That could just be to be a great number two, you know, in a company. Like, you don't have to be the next Elon Musk to live a great life, to live an ambitious life, to live a desired filled life, but you have to find something within you that says, you know what, you know, I'm going to go after this, and I'm not going to let anyone stop me or get in my way or wait for permission. I'm going to go out and do it myself. And that's kind of been my whole life, is I wanted to have a TV show. Again, no one was knocking on my door saying, all right, we need a middle-aged white guy to be on TV. I got together, we crowdfunded something, the marketplace said they wanted it, and we went out and we filmed it and we found distribution. And so these defining moments were just moments where we said, you know, we're not going to wait for somebody to give us that opportunity. We're going to create that opportunity for ourselves. And I think that is one of the biggest mindset shifts that anyone can have, is like, if you want to start a TV show, well, there's this awesome thing called a cell phone and YouTube. You can start a TV show this afternoon. And so it's just allowing our minds to realize that we can do whatever we want to do, but it's up to us, right? My mentor, Craig Ballantyne, says, if it is to be, it's up to me. And that's really the outlook that I have on this.
Brother, first of all, I love Craig. He's amazing. And I love the fact that you are so intentional with that. You know, it's like, I literally, when I thought with about the Resilient Minds podcast, same thing. It was like, you know, I want to talk to brilliant minds. I love learning from people. And I think other people would want to learn from brilliant people too. And it's like, yeah, that has always been the caveat of bringing a guest on, is like, are you somebody that is showing up in the world with tremendous thought leadership and willing to step up and be resilient? Because all of us, I don't care who you are, if you're making a change in the world right now, you've been through some sort of resilience to push through and make it reality. And to me, that has been the why behind this. So as you're sharing this, I'm like, oh my God, that makes so much sense, because it literally is something that has literally, through this show, was something that, like, I was just like, I'm going to go out and make this happen. I want to talk to brilliant people. And here I am talking to this brilliant man, Greg.
Yeah, I think this is really, really important. And so, you know, you set out to create this show, right? And you're now, I think you're 70 something episodes in at the time we're recording this. And like, you know, I can guarantee you that episode 60 was better than episode 3, right? That now episode 70, 75, 80 is going to be better than episode 60. You don't, like, in your world, like in the podcasting world, like, you don't become Joe Rogan on episode 2. And I think this is the fallacy a lot of people have, is they're like, I want to be Joe Rogan now. I want to be Gary Vaynerchuk, or like, insert whoever, right? I want to be them now without doing the discovery process. Because I bet through all these things, like, you've gotten better at interviewing. You've gotten better at asking for bigger guests. You've gotten better at asking that hard-hitting question through the doing of the work. That's the resiliency. That's the power of moving forward. And I applaud you for doing that. And everybody who's listening, there's a lot to learn from that, is like, you don't have to be a 10 the day you launch. If you're still struggling, like, well, I don't want to do a podcast, or and replace podcast with anything, right? A business, a video show, like, whatever, is like, you can find your voice during the process, right? Like, if you go back and watch Gary V, Wine Library number one, right? Well before he became Gary, it's awful, right? He's not the Gary V that we know today. And guess what? Through 1,000 episodes of Wine Library TV, you know what he did? He found his voice. He discovered himself. And it was through that resilience. It was through repetition. It was through being relentless that he got to that place. And so I think a lot of people are scared to put out episode 1 because they're embarrassed by it, because they have this mindset of, someone's going to make fun of me. Someone's going to leave a mean comment. Most people don't even have time to do that. They just ignore you, right? And then you just build this such a snowball effect over time that people can no longer ignore you. But that only comes through, like, the resilience stuff that you talk about. So I think that's a big shift for people to have, is that your day one doesn't have to look like somebody else's day, you know, year 5, you know? And that's a big mistake that we have today.
And I think that going now really pivoting from that moment that what you're sharing is like that emphasis of like having to start at day one, but seeing where you want to go and not what you want to do. What do you feel right now, especially, you know, like the transition of this, because I believe there's a big shift happening in regards to offline into online business, and, you know, utilizing those shifts of that taking those expertise and bringing them into the online world. People need to be seen. People need to be marketing. People need to innovate. People need to create. And what I'm seeing, and what maybe you're seeing this yourself, is that people want it today. And we, I mean, just like the podcast, right? They want it all like right now, like it's working. Like we're just turning it on and here you go, clients are flooding in. And we know that doesn't work. There's a lot of iteration that goes through that. So what would you share today if somebody like is starting at day one of transitioning from the offline to the online with their brilliance, with their expertise, and really wanting to lay that new foundation? What would be their number one like step, a few tactics?
Yeah, I love this, man. So I'm working on a big video project, a film project right now with another one of my mentors and a mentor to Todd Brown, who I knew he had the show recently, Rich Sheffrin. Mm-hmm. And he talks all about the difference between being opportunistic and being strategic. And I think that so many people, when they come online, we become opportunistic and we chase shiny objects and we chase tactics without having strategy, without knowing the what. And we had a great conversation on this morning. Super relevant is that I'm going to go online and I'm just going to do a webinar and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do a launch and I'm going to create an online product and a course and a membership site without knowing like, well, what are we really trying to build? Like, what are we really trying to do here? And having that strategy of, you know what, I want to be, you know, the number one personal trainer in Orlando for women who are overweight and want to lose weight. Well, that's who I want to become. Now we can look tactically at the how. But I think people rush online and they're just like, I'm just going to start a podcast. Why? Why are we doing the podcast? Is it to build brand? Is it to like, I love what you're doing is you're talking to all these brilliant minds. Well, these could all be connections and partners and these like, but like, why are we doing the podcast? How does it fit into the strategy of what we really want for our business? And look, I'm a big believer that everything works. Webinars work and Facebook ads work and YouTube ads work, but it might not all work for you because it's a tactic. The tactic has to be tied to a strategy. Like, what do we really want to accomplish? Do you want to sell, you know, like we one of our things right now is we just started a brand new performance line, a supplement line for entrepreneurs. And like the goal of that business is to impact and help, you know, 10,000 entrepreneurs and get them to perform at their peak. Well, if that is the what, that's the goal, that's where we're shooting. Well, now we look at the how are we going to execute that? And, you know, for us, like a podcast wasn't part of that strategy because it was a longer term play. What's our short term play was, all right, well, we're going to do what we know how to do best. We're going to create videos. We're going to run ads to them. We're going to run it to a funnel and we're going to sell a ton of products because that's the fastest way we know to help people. Now, would a podcast work? Sure, but it's a longer term strategy. Does a YouTube show work? Sure, it does. But like, I don't want to be creating videos every single minute of every single day. Like that's just, so we looked for the right, you know, right how to fit into the strategy. And I think most people, when they get online, is they look straight for the tactic. You know, this guy's making millions on Snapchat. So they just jump to Snapchat without knowing that, well, my audience isn't there. They're not clicking through to like get financial advice. Like, so everybody really has to focus in on the strategy. Stop going and buying products and going through courses. And I'm a guy who sells courses, but stop buying courses until you need that course to achieve part of the strategy. They're buying the course and then they're saying, all right, well, how does this fit? Like, no, that's the wrong way to think about it. Like, build the strategy first and then go look for the tactics that are going to help you.
Yeah. Having that, I love it. Having that like 30,000 bird's eye view, seeing which way it can actually be, driven and focused. And then from that perspective, now you know how to build the foundation and the building blocks above it.
100%. And then it's execute at speed, right? So, too many people, I think online, they think that by buying the course, by listening to the podcast, watching the YouTube video, that that act of consumption is actually momentum in their business. And it's not. It's not until you write the ad, you film the video, you put up the page, you make an offer. You have to implement at warp speed, you know, in order to be really successful. And I think too many people mistake, well, I'm just going through this course. Well, sure, go through the course, but freaking put up the ad. Like, let's go. Yeah. Like, what, you're delaying what you told me that you really wanted. You didn't wake up today to say, you know what, I'm really excited to watch 86 videos, right? Like, no, you were excited to execute on the mission, to execute on the vision, the ambition, the whatever that you have. And so I think that one thing that people get scared of is taking that initial action, releasing that first thing. Because if I'm just going through a course, if I'm just watching YouTube videos, if I'm just reading another report, well, I can't fail, right? Because I haven't taken any step. But when you take that first action, you put out the podcast and nobody listens, well, now I'm a failure. But if I just buy another course and I'm waiting to, like, they're not experiencing that. I put up an ad, I spend $50 on Facebook and no one opts into my landing page. Now I'm a failure. And we put this identity on ourselves that the action that I, but no, but that action now gave you what? It gave you data. All right, well, that ad sucked. Well, let's write another one that doesn't look like that one. Maybe the landing page. But now you can go and continue to execute. And if you think that any one of your marketing heroes or business heroes like hit home runs every time they came out of the gate, like, you're sorely mistaken, right? Because we all do it. We all put up ads or campaigns or do launches or send an email that totally flops, right? And so perfection isn't what we're looking for. What my mentor, Dan Kennedy, taught me is it's all about being a prolific producer, creating a lot of volume of work, because the more at bats, I'm a big baseball guy, my kids play baseball. The more at bats you take, the more likely that you're going to get that base hit, right? The best hitters in Major League Baseball, Hall of Fame guys, 3 out of 10 is how many times they're getting hits. And then out of those 3 hits, are they all home runs? No, some are like bunts. Some are duck farts that pop over the first, like, some are doubles. Some are like, so you have to take as many at bats as possible. That's why I love the fact that you have 72 episodes. I'm staring at you, the podcast screen right now, but somebody might not like episode 16. Who cares? You're coming out with episode 17 next week. So you put up an ad that didn't work. Great, put up another one. And I think too many people are like, well, I only have one idea. I only have one thing I can talk about. Like, you have to become prolific in the amount of stuff that you produce so that you can find the base hits, so you can find the doubles. And so, yeah, so we can eventually find that home run. Don't be scared to continuously put out stuff. Be more prolific in your approach. And that's what's going to give you that resilience that ultimately, like, leads to a success at some point, right? Gary Vee, 1,000 episodes. They weren't all very good. They weren't all viral. They didn't all get but he put out 1,000 episodes and you're scared to put out 3. Right? Like, who's going to win that game? In the world that we live in now online, it's the one with volume, right? Like, go to some of these people's YouTube channels, go to their Facebook pages. They have thousands of videos that they put out there. They're not all home runs, but guess what? That's 1,000 opportunities for someone to see them, to say, like, you know what? This Eric guy is pretty cool. Maybe I should see what else he has going on. But if you've only ever put out one piece of content and it's a video that's like about us, about your mission and your values, and you put it on the about page of your website, you're not giving yourself an opportunity to be discovered. You're not giving yourself an opportunity to help and to have that impact and to create whatever that you wanted to create. And for somebody to say, you know what? I do want to hire you. So be prolific in your approach, as opposed to just hoping that the one thing you ever produce is going to be the greatest thing of all time.
Bro, you talked about, I want to just talk about the offer there, because some people are so worried about putting it out there. And it's like, you know, they want to go through the whole course, or they want to make it perfect, or they don't want to, like, so, like, what is it? What would be, you know, what is it about, you know, having an offer that, like, is test and measured and, like, able to, like, actually test it to see if it works in the marketplace, rather than honing in, making it perfect, wanting to see it, you know, and then finally putting it in the marketplace and having it flop? What's the power in, like, just executing, seeing if it works, and then iterating to make it better?
So what you think, your opinion, what your mom thinks and her opinion, what your spouse thinks, doesn't matter. The only opinion whose matters is the one who's pulling out their wallet, their credit card, and is going to buy your thing. So, I mean, this happens to me all the time. Sure, it happens to you. I, like, write the greatest letter, sales letter, or put up the greatest sales page. I'm like, this is amazing. This is going to crush. And then it bombs. It's because it doesn't matter what I think. And then sometimes I'll put out something and it'll be, I'm like, this is stupid. Like, I don't. And then you're like, wow, why did that one generate sales? Like, this was corny. This was cheesy. I never would have done this but like, that freaking worked. Like, you know, Todd, who you had on, says that we're not in the why business. We're in the what business. I don't care why that it works. I care that it works. And so, again, going back to our ego, our ego says it's got to be perfect. It's got to be that. But the market doesn't give two craps about your ego. The market's like, did I want this or did I not want this? And so your ability to put something out there and to see if people genuinely want it or care about it is the only thing that matters in business, in building a brand, in creating content. Like, you have to put it out into the marketplace and let them decide, not you. And so, you know, I tell that to people all the time. They're like, well, it's not ready yet. I'm like, it's not ready compared to, you know, according to who? According to you?
To what? Right? Exactly.
You, yeah. And your perfectionism and your idea of what it should be. The marketplace, like, if you genuinely care about your business, your product, your customers, and you're holding back from releasing it because of perfection, someone today is suffering because of your inability to get it to the marketplace, right? So, you know, your course at 75%, but can save someone's life, save their business, save their marriage, save their health, save their relationship, like whatever it is, get the damn thing out into the marketplace so that you can help those people. And guess what? Those people will instantly tell you, like, if what you have to offer is valid or not. So stop letting your own insecurities, your own ego, your own, you know, your own thoughts and opinions cloud the fact that your opinion doesn't mean jack, right? Now, that doesn't mean that we put out an offer that's like lame or like, this is a half-ass offer or I'm not adding value. That's not what I'm saying. But like, you know, you waiting to add like that fifth bonus, like, and I'm waiting till I film this, like, no, get it out into the market and let them decide if it's good or not.
I love it. And I love how you talked about the specifics of like the bonus or adding value, like what value to add. Describe the, if you don't mind, if you, describe the process of how you would take somebody through to build an offer. And obviously it doesn't need to be fully tactical, but like something that somebody may be able to like, be like, hey, yeah, I can do that. Like, let's get it like a beta out or something.
Yeah. So the only thing that matters at the end of the day is getting the customer an outcome that they desire, right? I want to lose weight. I want to learn how to play guitar. I want to grow tomatoes. I want to double my business. I want to learn faith. Like, so the, what you want to do, and this is something, again, I've learned this from amazing mentors and people like that, is like, nobody woke up today. I kind of joked about this earlier, but the same concept applies. I hope that Eric sends me a sales letter to buy 900 videos and 87 audios and 14 PDFs. Like, we didn't, nobody woke up with that desire, right? So it's not the volume of stuff. It's what is the fastest path that I can go from wherever I am now to whatever I desire, the outcome that I desire. And if like, I remember Evan Pagan had this amazing offer when he was in the dating space as David D'Angelo. I think, you know, if you Googled it, David D'Angelo kiss test. And it was, you know, the outcome that the market wanted was, if I take a girl out on a date, how do I know if she wants to kiss me or not? Right. Like, and if you could solve that problem, a lot of guys, like, they want to know that, right? Like, luckily I don't have that problem. I married my high school sweetheart, so I don't even know how to date. Like, I have no idea. Right. But I imagine that if I was like a 22, 23 year old dude out on a random date, like, I would want to know. And so that guy doesn't want to watch 6 weeks worth of videos to see if a girl wants to kiss him or not. So when you opted in for this thing from David D'Angelo, it was two sentences. If the girl leans in, kiss her. Or it's like when you're saying goodbye, if she leans in, she wants to kiss you. If she doesn't, you don't. And everybody went, oh. Like, now I know. Like, now I'm going to go on a date. And if she leans in, I'm going to kiss. Like, and it just, so when I'm thinking about offers, it's how can I as quickly as possible get someone to that result, right? So do I need to add done for you templates? Do I need to add scripts? Do I need to add, like, how can I get somebody that result? Like, all I care about when putting together an offer is if someone buys my thing, whatever that thing is, how can I get them to that result? And so I think if everybody who's listening to this is like, I need to put together, it's, you don't need to stack 87 more bonuses. Like, sometimes you do, but does the bonus help them get what they want faster or easier or sexier? And that's why, like, when you do put together bonuses, something that I love is like templates, fill in the blank scripts, done for you components, you know, like graphics. All you have to do is swap out logo. Like, now I'm helping my audience get the result faster because they don't have to do it from scratch. And so that's the number one thing I look at when I'm trying to create an offer is how do I get them from A to B as quickly as possible? Because if I can do that, they'll pay me any amount of money. Because if they're in pain, absolutely, and they want a result and I can help them to get there and I've made it as effortless as possible, that's where it becomes easy for them to now give you their money. They'll part with their money because they easily can see in their mind that, oh, I give Greg X dollars, I'm going to be a better person or have a better relationship or get like whatever it is. So I care less about that it's 4 weeks versus 6 weeks. I care less that it's an hour long video versus this. I care less about that there's eight high volume, you know, actionable calls versus seven calls. Like, that's just semantics. It's how does that factor into getting the person results? Because that's all that matters.
And results are, you know, I talk about three things always. It's like, how can we value, provide more value to people? How can we create an impact in the world? And finally, how can we determine and deliver more results for the people that, you know, we want to really essentially impact and add value to? Yeah. So for me, it's like, you know, we continuously come up with these ideas of the approach or offer more of an understanding to, you know, ourselves and to the clients that we serve. But where do you feel like you get some of your best ideas, Greg?
So I believe idea generation comes from input, and the higher volume of input that you have, the better quality of your output. So again, going back to like the baseball analogy, if I only have one idea, I've only got one shot. But if I have 10 ideas, I have 10 at bats to do that. So I'm a very, like, I read a lot, I watch a lot, I subscribe to a lot of like newsletters, magazines, like trade association stuff. Like, I got, you know, like one in front of me, is as cheesy it is, but it's like from Staples. It's their like work life magazine. But like, I go in here and I'm like, huh, there's been 6 articles all about, you know, time management. Like, there's something in there. And like, what's the stat or what's the component that I can pull out of that to become an idea? And so I think that you do need a lot of inputs, a lot of different places that you're bringing stuff in from. They don't come from like just your own mind, like being brilliant. Like, most people aren't, like, can't be creative on the spot. I'm like, all right, Eric, like right now in the next 30 seconds, write down 10 headlines. You'd be like, you know, like you could probably conjure up a few, but much better if they come from, man. So I work with a lot of financial advisors and one of my markets. And so I read Financial Planning Magazine. I read Insurance Newsnet Magazine. I get the magazine from the Financial Planning Association. There's the Florida Financial Planning Association. I get their newsletter. I get all the insurance and annuity news. I get the life insurance news. Like, I have like all of these inputs that I go through, and I just look through them and I'm like, all right, everyone right now is talking about insurance premiums and how insurance premiums are changing due to coronavirus. Like, maybe I should like start thinking about that as ideas. And then I start reading the articles. Like, maybe there's a stat, maybe there's a quote in there from an expert, but again, it came through input. Like, I didn't think of any of that stuff, right? Like, there's other people who are bringing this. And I think that a lot of people are just waking up and they're going, all right, I need to film a video today. What should I film a video about? As opposed to, what we teach our clients is, you know, what are the things that you want to be known for, right? I want to be known for helping people lose weight. I want to be known for, you know, helping people use the keto diet to do this. I want to be known for helping people save money on their tax, whatever it is, and creating an idea bank. And I use Evernote, don't care what you use, Google Docs. You can use like sticky notes for all I care, but I have this bank of ideas. And so anytime that I have to do like a shoot day or a film day, which we have one coming up tomorrow, I have hundreds of ideas in that film bank. So they're like, all right, we got to shoot our content for the month. I just go into that, and not all 100 ideas do I want to film, but I'll look for them and I'll be like, all right, well, these 4, I could talk about this one. I could talk about this. Don't care about that one. And so, but I have so many ideas from all this input. So anytime I read a magazine article, boom, throw it in there with maybe like a sentence or two about what I felt about it or how I ran with it. So having a lot of input allows you to have that list, that inventory. And then just like I was listening to a great interview with Jerry Seinfeld this morning about having just all of these jokes, and you just work out material at the comedy clubs. Well, I work out material on like a podcast like this. Like, some of this stuff that I'm telling you today, I've said hundreds of times and I know it works, right? It's the joke that always gets the laugh at the punchline. There's other stuff that I'm telling you here today that I'm trying for the first time. Some of it's going to land, some of it, nope, I'm going to throw it away. But you have so many ideas that you can always pull from. You have all these experiences. I think that was the first thing you said, was like experiences, like life experiences. Pull from all of that. And then ultimately you're going to come up with the greatest hits that you can run with all the time.
And that is so important. I find, you know, Steve Jobs, he talked about, like, I find that it's super important, like having that. Like, I love that you shared that input equals output. Because for me, that's been so important. Because, you know, Steve Jobs, it's like somebody asked him once, you know, where do you get all these crazy ideas? He's like, I fucking stole them. Right? Like
I just found those brilliant minds and I poured it all together and I made a mine. Yeah. Like,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Like, the iPod's not super original. It's an MP3 player. Like, that's all it is, yeah. Right?
And I have to say that it's so beautiful. Like, you know, whether you listen to Tony or you listen to Gary or you listen to so many different brilliant minds that are out there doing amazing things and standing out. It's like we are able to learn from our predecessors, apply our own experience and make it unique.
Yeah.
And that is what I truly love about, you know, how we're able to show up in the world. And, you know, there's distinctions, of course, but the foundation of it all is really similar. And that's where it becomes like so exciting, because you talked about, like, you know, the opportunity of, like, you know, seeing people and knowing that you can accomplish that as well. And that is literally what our predecessors have already laid down, you know, about the books we can read, the, you know, the experiences we can manifest from those books. Yeah. And help others do the same into the future, into the next generation. So brother, I like that to me was a really like aha moment and a great insight to share that point of view. And I think that, you know, it's nice to hear that from, you know, another, you know, peer that is in the same similar space. So I appreciate that. So when it comes down to your values, and, you know, you have a lot of energy as well, and I feel it, it's good, I love it. And when you share that energy and you show, how does that energy or any other values, for that matter, show up regularly in your work, bro?
Yeah, so I'm a big believer that energy is contagious. And if you bring positive energy to any situation, it's gonna transfer over. If I came onto this show, and look, the idea is not for everyone to be me or to be Eric or to be insert whoever, but if I came on the show and I was like, you know, you should really shoot videos to grow your business and it's gonna be fun. And like, you'd be like, maybe, but like, I'm like, dude, you got to do video, and you got to, like, you're like, wow, I can feel the energy from this person. Maybe there's something in that I can use too. And so energy is really contagious, and it's contagious in an entire business, right? If I'm bringing energy to my staff and to my team meetings, that energy is going to transfer down and they're going to perform their job better. And they're going to talk to my clients with more energy and enthusiasm and really bring it. And so I do believe energy is super important to whatever it is that you're doing. And again, you don't need to be Grant Cardone energy. You don't need to be my energy, but like you have to bring some kind of electricity into your world in order to lead a movement. Because in order to like lead people, like it's really freaking hard, first of all, right? to lead a movement. Whether you're leading, you know, a team of 10 or you're, you know, millions of followers, but the leader has to invoke energy in order to get people to follow them. And so whatever energy you bring to it, that's what you're going to attract back. At the same time, your energy can also repel the people who don't want to be in your life. And I think that that's also equally as important. Dan Kennedy drilled this into me a really long time ago that marketing really serves two purposes. It attracts the people you want in your life, and it should repel everybody else. And that's actually a good thing, so that you're not wasting your time on the people who don't align with your values, who don't see the world the way that you see it, who don't ever want to buy your programs, products, or services. People get really tactically, like, get really upset when people unsubscribe from their email list. Who cares? That person wasn't going to buy from you. They didn't align with your values. Like, they don't want to hear from you. If they didn't want to hear from you, what makes you think that they were ever going to buy from you? Like, these people get so, we'll have this email list of 500 people that I've been building for the last 3 years. And I'm like, cool. When's the last time you emailed them? Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want someone to unsubscribe. I'm like, well, what'd you get? Bring these people. Like, you have, like, that's energy that they've given you. I want to hear from Eric. I signed up to his newsletter. Well, then talk to them, bring the energy, like bring, you know, send it right back to them in the terms of great content and the vision that you have and painting that picture. So, man, to me, energy is everything. And yeah, like there's the biological side of energy, drinking enough water, taking care of yourself, eating right, energizing yourself through activity and exercise and all of those things. And then there's also like the mental energy. Like, are you surrounding yourselves in the right environment? Have you created a home office or your office or your team or whatever that supports and feeds that energy? Are you surrounded around the right people who continuously like build you into that positive? Or are you around negative people all the time who suck the energy out of you? And so, like, you have to, again, just goes back to everything that I've been saying, is you create your reality. if it is to be, it's up to me. If you want to have more energy, well, what'd you eat for lunch today? Did you eat McDonald's or did you like have, you know, some vegetables and some lean protein? Like, did you eat the things that support that energy? Did you go have a meeting? Did you go have lunch with a group of people who all they do is bitch and whine and moan and complain? Or did you have lunch with people who are sharing their ideas and their hope and their insight into what the future is going to look like? That's going to, you know, bring either positive energy or negative energy into everything that you do. And so, yeah, man, the question was bigger than that, but I think energy is so important that if you don't put yourself in a position to be bringing that energy, it's going to be really hard for you to be a leader in whatever it is that you do.
And the execution will never come to fruition because you'll just continue to, just think about it rather than execute with it. And I think we talked about that, we briefly discussed that at the beginning before even hitting record, is like, you know, how important is it taking that knowledge that we, you know, we collect, right? The input to develop and evolve that output. And like, you know, that, you know, evidently comes into the values of your work, and that evidently shows up in the values of the work, is execution. So for people that may be struggling with really executing, you know, a new marketing campaign, really building their expertise online, or really getting a better understanding of their offer, their audience, you know, iterating their processes, their systems, their backend, whatever, you know, their email list, what would you say, what kind of energy or what kind of execution needs to happen now?
Yeah, I'll make it really simple. Stop making it about you and start making it about your audience. All of your excuses come when you think that it's about you. Oh, well, my sales page doesn't look like this, or I don't like the way that I look, or I don't like my execution, or I like you. It's all about you. But didn't you get into business to serve an audience because you had a calling, because you had a mission, because you wanted to be the leader? Like, when you put it, like, all my focus is on how can I serve today? How can I bring the energy for others? That's where all the magic happens. All the energy gets sucked out of you when you think that it's about you, right? My, like, if I really cared right now, I wouldn't be shooting like in my bedroom. There's like a weird light thing going on here. You know, my jacket isn't like fully good. Not every one of my hairs is in the right spot. Like, I don't care about any of that. I came here to serve Eric's audience and like help you. Like, all I care about is someone leaves this episode going, shit, Greg said something. I really need to execute on that. And I care so much more about the audience than what I think of myself or anything, because my mission is bigger than me. Right. And if your mission really is bigger than you, it's about your audience. Turn all the focus and attention to them and everything becomes infinitely easier. You're less, you know, clouded for judgment. You less care less about other people's opinions, because your mission is, if I get 100 haters, but I help one person improve their marriage and not get divorced, was it worth putting out the video? Of course it was. You like saved someone today. And so stop thinking it's about you, start thinking it's about your audience, and amazing things will happen. You will start executing at a much faster pace. You know, dominoes will fall much faster because you're not putting all the focus on yourself.
Bro, and evidently you have been doing that for quite some time now. And it's beautiful to see. It's amazing to watch. How has it been to be able to show up that, and how has that been able to transform or change your life focusing on the audience?
So whenever I get into like a dark spot, right? Like, this year has been a rough year for us. I mean, we lost, you know, 80, 90% of our revenue in a 2-month span, like when all the lockdowns happened and all of that. And it's really easy, because I'm human at the end of the day, right? Like, I have emotions. I was sad. Like, I tell everybody, I joke, I'm like, yeah, for like half the day, I like sat in the closet and cried. And I'm like, I don't know what to do, but I know to pull myself out of it, the fastest way to pull myself out of it and to start to get my mojo back, some momentum, whatever it is to go help someone. And every time I've been like in the dumps, I go and like, I started going on Facebook, started doing Facebook Lives and just like doing like open Q&As to like my Facebook group and stuff like that. And I would help somebody through a problem, through a challenge that they were having. I would help them to, you know, create momentum. And just the sheer act of helping somebody else helped me. It was therapy for me. And it got me my momentum back. It created energy for myself. I'm like, and then it also is just like, well, shoot, I still got it, right? And so if I had just tried to sit in my own room and try to figure my own way out of my problems, for me, that wouldn't have worked. But it's when I get around other people and their energy and I can help them in some way, it does so much positive stuff for you. So for anybody who's suffering right now, who maybe thinks that they don't have it, that they're a hack, that they are, someone's going to be like, well, you're not good enough, like whatever it is, just go help someone. You know, that could be anyone. You know, go jump on Facebook, do a Facebook Live, jump on Instagram, do an Instagram Live, go to a freaking local meetup group if those are still things because of Corona, you know, like there's Zoom meetups now. I don't know. But like, you know, write an email to your email list and just say, you know, hey, you know what? I got some extra time this afternoon. You know, for the first five people that reply, I'll jump on a quick one-on-one call with you and really help you out with, like, I don't, it's not about the money at that point. It's about getting your mind right, getting you back in the zone, getting you back into a place where now you have some confidence, where you have some clarity, where you have, again, that energy back. That, to me, that's how I get myself out of despair, is like jumping on a show like this. Like, I'm so energized. Like, as soon as this call's over, I'm going to write the freaking best sales letter like of the week, because I have that energy. And so you have to find that for you. And I think that it comes in service to others, in serving other people's audiences and serving your audience. That's where you're going to create that energy and momentum.
Bro, you've given us such a path to success, and I'm super grateful. And I'm super grateful for having me here. What would you feel, or what do you think, what would you feel is one reason why people would fail?
I think it's because, and I just kind of talked about it, it's that they think it's about them. They think that the world revolves around them, that they're the center of the universe. And we all know that not to be the truth, no matter how you want to think about it, right? And I think the people who do think that they are the center of the universe, at some point, their universe comes crumbling down around them. A, because it's really freaking hard to live up to that. But B, you're not coming from a humane place. Like, humanity is all about like preserving life for the next generation. Like, that is like, whatever your religion is, whatever, like, it's to leave the world a better place than you got it. And that only comes by like doing things for others and making the like, and so I think the main reason that people fail is they think it's about them and they make the world revolve around them. But as soon as you start making it about other people, the world opens up, and then your fears disappear. And then just all the bad things that could happen start to go away. Now, does that mean that you're, all right, I'm going to make it all about others and I'm going to go put out this video and I'm going to get millions of viral views? Like, of course not, right? It's still going to be work. It's still going to be a pain in the ass. It's still going to be hard, but you're doing it for the right reasons. And that will help you to overcome some of those roadblocks, overcome some of those hurdles, overcome some of those setbacks, because I'm not letting the setback stop me. Because if I let this setback stop me, I'm, you know, hurting this person who is suffering that I know I can help. So I'm going to get this setback. I'm going to shove it to the corner and pass through it, because people need my help on the other side. And so stop thinking it's about you.
Dude, that's the best way, coming in from a place of servant leadership. And bro, you've showed up more than like, I'm just thankful, because you've given so many powerful insights today, that I'm just super thankful that, you know, people are able to take pieces from here. And I know there's so many nuggets that you've dropped that are going to be so monumental in people's shifts, just from a perspective of like, you know, the brilliance that you brought and so many different tactical items that you were able to bring. So thank you. I appreciate you, bro. And one thing I wanted to also add is, if there's anything that you're doing right now, or ways that people can connect with you, how is the best way to you know, get more information or connect with you directly?
Definitely, man. And I appreciate that. And the reason that I'm able to share cool stuff is because of your leadership in the interview, right? I think that goes back to right back to you. So throwing it right back to you. So thank you for guiding the interview in a way that allowed me to bring it, which is super cool. You know, for me, like, the biggest thing that we're working on right now is like, everything that we talked about today, I tried to put it in a bottle, actually. And so we've created a supplement line, a high performance line for entrepreneurs who want to perform at their peak, so that they can get their mind, their energy, their environment right, and allow them to create, you know, and produce, you know, just legendary work, and then profit in a way that they can live their ambitious life. And so if they want to learn more about some of the supplements and products that we put together to help them to get into that peak performance state, they can go to ambitious.com. They can learn more there, and you know, be forever grateful. But I think, you know, one of the coolest things that when I do episodes like this, like, what I love to see is like, if you learned something today, if you got inspired today, if you, you know, feel a change is in the wind because of something you heard today, screenshot this episode, share it on social media, because that lets me know that you learned something. It helps Eric get more listeners to his show. Like I think that's one of the best thank yous that we can both get, is like, screenshot this, share it on your Instagram story, share it on your Facebook, tag us, because that means that the message is actually getting through. It's cutting through and it means something. And that's one of the best ways, at least for me, to repay me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, take us, like Greg said, take us both so we can reshare it and you know, share the love with everybody. So brother, you're amazing. I have one last question for you before we go. All right. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Spend every single second with my kids. That is it's super easy. And it's whatever they wanted to do. However they wanted me to spend those last 3 days with them. That's all that matters.
Amazing, bro. Brother, again, thank you for your time. Do you have any last final, words that you want to share?
Stop waiting for permission. You know, if you're waiting for somebody to come save you, then Eric and I just did it today, right? Like, it's on you. Stop waiting for permission to do whatever it is that you want to do in life. Life is short. I hope that you have more than 3 days from Eric's last question, but at the same time, life is short. And if you're waiting for somebody to tell you that it's okay, like at some point you're going to wake up and realize that you don't have the time to do it. Do it now. You're never going to be younger than you are in this moment, right here, right now, today. Take advantage of that and go forth. And I hope all your ambitions come to life.
I hope, brother. Appreciate you, man. Talk soon, man. I look forward to chatting. Ciao.